Blog Talk Radio.
Love and happiness, yeah, something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, yeah. Love.
Come on.
Okay, in this episode of Bringing Voices to Power, I talk with Peter Proctor Jr., candidate for Huntsville, Alabama City Council District 1. We will discuss with Mr. Proctor his campaign theme, Right Reason, Right Season, his plan for District 1 and the future. Good morning, Mr. Proctor. How's it going?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, now you're coming in. How's it going this morning?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know where you was born, in relationship to Huntsville, and your birth ties to the town, city.
Well, Mark, well, first of all, I'm going to say this, that you said that is the right reason and the right season. I want you to know that I am that right man right now,
okay,
for the right season, for the right reason. And I just tell you that's my plea, because I believe everybody got to make a choice, because we're in a critical time that we're in. And I am from Huntsville, Alabama. I'm a native Huntsvillian, strictly grassroots. I was raised up on Cavalry Street, which is known historically as the 10th Cavalry, and that's what the old folks used to call Cavalry Street, the 10th Cavalry. And I'm proud to be associated with a historical district such as Huntsville, in which that predominantly Black or African Americans actually built houses on that land. And the neighborhood is now, seems as though that is deteriorating, but that's one reason why I'm all about a community revitalization. We know that we got other historical districts in the downtown Huntsville area and other areas. And one of my agendas is to make sure that we put more emphasis on preserving some of the land that is considered to be historical, in which that African Americans have had the opportunity to establish. So I did go to Cavalry Hill School, which is known as AAA, and growing up, our parents moved in various a part of Huntsville, and so I had an opportunity to actually, special in the northwest area of Huntsville, to be able to participate. What we call Martin Luther King right now was called Colonial Hills. So I did have an opportunity to also attend Colonial Hills, West Maston Lake, Lakewood, Davis Hills. Went on to high school at Johnson School. On to Alabama A&M, in which that I graduated in telecommunication with a minor in criminal justice and a minor in business.
Okay. Could you hold on for 1 second? We got a caller. Let's see. Caller.
Yeah, Marcus.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, this is
sounds like
I'm
somebody there and loud. Okay,
sir.
Coach.
I really don't have a question. I just kind of called to see if I could listen to the show this way. Maybe I'm going the wrong way. I don't know.
Oh, okay. You can listen to the show this way. I'll just put you on standby in case you want to make a comment. Mr. Proctor, this is a friend of mine. He ran for superintendent of Lawrence County, and he was an outstanding athlete in high school. And he went on and played at Indiana University. And he's very known in these parts and very politically active. So he keeps up with all the politics, you know, statewide as well as national. So he's calling in and listening to the show. He sometimes co-hosts with me. We actually co-hosting a show tomorrow with Dr. Gail Satchel. And so I'm going to mute your mic for a minute, Darren, until we get finished with this introduction. Then I'm going to bring you back on, but you're still on the line. Hold on, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Proctor, you got to the point where you said you had worked at Alabama A&M University, and just for disclosure purposes, we actually worked together for 10 years. I was there for 10 years. You was there longer than I was. But it was a pleasure working with you, and I know you always had a passion for uplifting the community. So I was glad to hear that you was running for this position.
Well, Marcus, I believe that after much sought-out prayer, and actually what really touched me is as I look back for 30 years and see where we have grown traditionally from having the representation of African Americans and to see where we are today, you know, I thank God that we do have representation, but yet we still got some milestones in which that we need to be able to address. And I believe the issues that need to be touched at today is carrying an economic agenda for Northern Huntsville. As you do know that Huntsville is flourishing, especially with BRAC. Huntsville used to be a transit city. Now Huntsville is a homestead city, and BRAC is bringing a tremendous opportunity to Huntsville as it relates to increasing to its tax base and generating businesses, owners who would like to come to Huntsville and be a part of this process of being able to eat off government grants and all types of opportunities that give us incentives to start businesses that can embrace anything that deals with the missile command here in Redstone Arsenal. So I'm excited. But nevertheless, we got North Huntsville that's being still neglected. We need to have someone who understands how to create jobs, how to get these youth involved, in which that we can curb some of the devastation that's happening because of the lack of hope. You know, so you know, our educational system is up in the uproar, not just locally, but actually across the country. So I believe that my background qualifies me to be able to deal with the grassroots needs of the community, as well as to have a comprehensive plan that the stakeholders ought to be able to understand, and to get the grassroots more informed and educated to the process that needs to happen in order for us to bring growth and prosperity to Northern Huntsville as well as Greater Huntsville.
Okay, my first question is, okay, we've had the Arsenal since forever, and we've known about BRAC coming in. And
Marcus, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. And did you hear what I said? I said my first question is like I said, we've known about BRAC coming in, and things are changing. We're seeing some changing, but why is it always North Huntsville are the last ones to see any change? What's been the problem there? Is it a lack of vision, a lack of will, power to do it, or is it just some people just want to leave things the way they are? Because we have that problem here in Lawrence County. You got some people who are leaders who they're so stuck in the old mindset that they don't care anything about change. They actually fear change.
Yeah.
So what's been the problem in North Huntsville, the reason why it hasn't seen the growth and changes that the rest of Huntsville has seen?
Well, it's a combination of things. Number one, I think, honestly, the leadership that has been in place for the last 27 years has not had a bona fide interest in the development of North Huntsville, nor the citizens that are now living in North Huntsville who have replaced those individuals who grew up in this area. I was raised in the Lakewood area, the Johnson High School at that time, Lakewood. This area was actually predominantly white at the time, outside of little areas such as Meadow Hills or Edmond Heights, those were the predominantly black areas at that time coming up through high school. And we grew up successfully. And as we grew up, we moved out and took flight to Meridianville, Madison, moved out of Huntsville. And so there was a replacement of not people, but the replacement of the mentality in the areas of things that they thought was more of a greater need. And so what happened, the dynamics of the community changed. And so there was no leadership that really cared because most of the representation was not from Huntsville. They had moved to Huntsville and got in political positions, but they didn't have what I call skin in the game. Skin in the game to the core, where you can ride down a street and remember how a street used to be and what used to be here and what did not used to be here. So we don't have those type of elected officials who are from this area who knows what and how great our community was at a certain time. And Huntsville has been blessed. So it's a combination of things, but right now it's economic. Who has a vision? Who has an economic agenda? Who can curb some of the social injustices that are happening, of course, when you have more of an African-American community in a certain sector? You know how it is when it comes to being with traffic violations, ticketing, and just a whole lot of profiling. Not to say that there's some things that's not out of order. Yeah, there are some things that are out of order, but there's nothing that bringing a solution to get our young folks back on track and engaged in working.
Let me get in here. Let me get in here right quick. And this is a problem, and this is why I want to jump in. This is a problem I've been talking about a long time, even when I was involved in the politics in Madison County. It's happened here too in Lawrence County. Young people are not getting engaged and they're not getting involved because they are sick and tired of coming to these meetings, coming to these events, and it's the same people holding on to power, those same people. They don't want new fresh voices. They don't want new blood. They're always stagnating new blood and looking down on it. Now, I'm just talking to you on this, but this is something that I've said before in the past. I know Councilman Showers has been there for a long time. He's done some great things in the community, but he's also dragged his feet, and he does not understand when it's time to pass it on. He's got so caught up in this title and this position that he is actually holding the community back. I mean, and we have another African-American politician here like that here in Lawrence County. When does our black politicians, all politicians really, but I'm speaking to the black community now as a grassroots activist, when is enough? How many years do you need to be in office? 10, 15, 20, 30? You've passed a whole generation up. And if you have not trained anybody to take over, then you're part of the problem. Who would want to hold a position generation after generation and not bring on new blood and somebody with stronger legs than them to take over? Only a self-centered, power-hungry person would want to do that, and anybody can take it how they want it. Now, when it goes back to when, and I was a supporter of Mr. Showers when he ran against when Reggie challenged him. Reggie had worked up under him for years and years. I mean, for a long, very long time. And as soon as this young man ran, the first thing Shower said was, he's not ready. Well, if he's been up under you all these years and he's not ready, that says something about your leadership. Either you did not know how to train the next generation or you intentionally did not train them to be ready. So which is it? So all I'm saying is young people are not getting involved and excited because they don't feel like they are a part of the process. Now, let me ask caller one, Darren, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Have you seen any of that in Lawrence County where young people are not getting a chance to participate, or there's not a concentrated effort to get young people involved in the political process?
Yeah, I was sitting there listening. I thought Mo Jones Jr. has been in office for the county commission for 30 years, and there's no way, you know, there's no way he can still be effective. You know, I'm not saying
exactly.
I don't know. I know from a teaching standpoint, we always registered all the coaches around in the four schools would register all the kids every year and try to get them to get out and vote and those type of things. But there is a disconnect, and I don't know. I'm just sitting here trying to learn from listening to y'all.
Yeah, I think the disconnect, you get a disconnect, is people not being able to participate. And that's what I like about Mr. Proctor and his campaign. He's got ideas to get young people to participate in not just these one-off things that happen one time a year, but to get them involved and keep them involved. Mr. Proctor, could you tell us about some of the ideas that you have for young people in District 1?
Okay. Let's deal with the political side of it, being that we are talking about it right now. One of the ideas I have to get the young folks involved in the political process is that years ago I came up with an idea called YPAC, Young Political Action Council. And the idea behind that is to get the young folks to start learning about the political process, learning about the candidate, learning about the issues, and to let them know that their vote counts. And through that process, that when there's not an election year, the youth are following the leadership, whereas that they can now feel that they could go to that leadership and ask that leadership to consider some of their ideas being a part of their agenda or the platform. That way that you keep an ongoing process of engagement with off election season and on election season, you have people who are concerned about the policies that are going to affect their lifestyles, their economics, their homes, the whole nine yards. But when you understand what politics of old is all about, is that it's about being exclusive, meaning that if we get in a position of power, we're going to control the policies. We're going to control the money flow. And the least amount of people who knows about what's going on, the more that the system can do without having the participation. So,
by the time
it gets time for election, you know, people are broke. If you think about what's going on right now, the only somebody who has money in the election season is the power brokers. They got the money. The small business people don't have money. The people at home who dependent upon their bosses keeping them with a job is waiting on the political process because it's predicated on contracts. So what's going on in the back of the scene is you got brokers who telling small business people and contractors that they're going to lose their contract if they don't vote a certain way. So the political process affects the economic and the socioeconomic of each household or person who may not even be able to afford to have a household. They're still waiting for that trickle-down economics to happen. So, but it starts at the political level with the right information and education and knowing what those people who are asking to represent you, what they're about, you know, because that's what it's going to carry is an agenda. Also, in the African-American community, traditionally, black folks really don't contribute to campaigns, and that's traditionally. Now, it may be a little change when Obama ran for office, where everybody sent in $5 or what may have you. But that was a new thing. But traditionally, black people just really don't believe in their representatives enough to financially back them in elections. So what happens is the person who is chosen to run is running representing somebody else's agenda more so than representing the district that they're representing. And that's the truth of the matter. And that's coming from me observing 30 years of what have happened in Huntsville, in the city of Huntsville. I was a part of the first election when we had black representation. And back then what they did, they just went and got popular people who had influence who told everybody in the community who to vote for. So back then, you know, it was all about influence and selling votes.
Well, that's happening. Well, that's still, you know, I mean, I know it happened back then, but that also happened, and we know this, and just for disclosure, you had ran for county commission, District 6, against Bob Harrison, and I was campaign manager at the time, but I also committee of the organization there, the Alabama Coalition. So we went through the screening process. Mr. Harrison complained that I couldn't be on the screening committee and be your campaign manager at the same time. So me and you came together and we talked about it. So I thought it would be better for me as a grassroots activist to be on that screening committee, because I really wanted to hold some people feet to the fire about how many people we had locked up over there in that jail. But anyway, the screening committee nominated you. That was the Alabama New South Coalition screening committee. We nominated you for that position. Okay, 3 days later, the people who in the establishment, the African-American community, the establishment, they came back and overruled only that selection, not any of the other ones we made, but only that one, and decided to back Bob Harrison. When you got that type of funny thing going on, you really have a problem. And that's what I mean about these people working with the establishment, and you got the older heads trying to control the next generation from coming on to the scene. When they stop controlling and inviting young people into the process, you will see some changes, but until we get them out or they come to their senses and realize that we need fresh blood and new legs, you know, things will not change. So I understand fully how that process works when people try to control who the leaders are. And if they can't control you, then they're going to do everything they can to stop you. And that's what I like about you. You're not going to be controlled by the money.
Well, one thing that I can say this is that if anybody, you know, there's more people who know my name than know my heart. And knowing my name, you know, it's because I've always been a person who would do even when somebody else don't want to do. You know, you know how many ideas God has blessed me to be a creative person. I've got a whole lot of projects and ideas that is right now at play in Huntsville, Alabama, that was researched, developed, and created by me, who individuals who had more money, more power, took them and went their way. But the bottom line is they are still not even maximizing off those ideas because they didn't create those ideas. Nevertheless, speaking to ideas is that we got young folks right now who are losing their minds and their hopes simply because they have no one to invest in their ideas, in their gifts and their talent. And that is in the African community, number one, in large, because there's not enough money that are set aside to feed into individuals who do not have the economic wherewithal or have the credit you know, the Community Reinvestment Act that was enacted by the federal government, that every bank has a mandate to apply with, have their own programs. And their programs vary, but nevertheless, I can't think of any African American who have benefited in this area from the Community Reinvestment Act, its program.
So I want to be an advocate
for that. I want to be an advocate for that, you know, because I have been a victim of not being able to have what I need to go forward. It's just that I'm such a believer that I just continue to go forward. Everybody's not like that, you know. To continue to go through their dreams. But I believe that that's what makes me qualified, is that it's not about the money. It's about having a system in place that allows the economy to organically grow as a living organism from an economic standpoint, just like nature. Grows, we have an economy that we have to make sure that money gets to from the top to the bottom in order that it would not create any diseases or disorder in the community, because these young folks will lose their mind and start doing things that are going to be more costly to the community than allowing them to be able to naturally have an opportunity to do what they need to do in order to prosper. So I'm going to yield back over to you.
Yeah, we need, that's exactly what we need. We need young people to be brought back in as stakeholders in the community. They feel like they don't have no hope right now. They don't have no leadership. That's the main problem. If you got leadership, you would have hope. To look at hopeless situations, that means you don't have no leadership, because that's what a leader does. They provide hope, inspiration, and a good outlook on the future. And if young people don't have that, then you have failed. If you got 100 people registered to vote and only 20 vote, you have failed. So we also got to look at the numbers, because the numbers don't lie. You can be in office 50 years, but if you're not getting but 20% of the people out to vote and you winning on that, that's nothing to brag about. That's a shame. That's exactly what that is, a shame. And we don't need people setting up on programs wanting somebody to come kiss their behind before they issue out a little bit of money. And we don't need leaders setting back, knowing about programs and not letting the people know. See, the main problem we have everywhere, and I've seen it in Huntsville, like I said, I dealt with Huntsville politics for over 10 years. We got the same problem everywhere, is young people are not being brought into the political process. The people who have achieved these positions, they're comfortable. They're not going to rock the boat. As long as they can get by with winning that election, they're fine. You see all smiles during election time, but once they get elected, you walk up to them and you try to approach them and see what you get. And it's not pretty.
Well, being a grassroots person for 27 years, I have not even been invited to sit on a committee that an elected official had the ability to appoint. And you know, I've been actively involved in politics. I've helped, I was a campaign manager back in the day when Will Cover ran. I'm familiar. One thing that somebody can say is what he is familiar with the individuals who are there. So I know that going to the table, I think that I could be able to talk the language of the deal that they can understand, how that they can continue to serve their district, and I can serve a district in which that hopefully that the people will see that they will want. Mind you, I do not want to be a elected official representing people who don't think that I can do the job. You know, and I think that if they study, if everybody studies the time, the season, and the reason for having the right person representing right now would be a landmark decision, because we're actually running 3 years behind, and I'm being nice about it. We're running 3 years behind on where we should be at economically, and we need to be a part of the big picture. And I'm pretty sure everybody have heard the big picture here in Huntsville. But until we have business owners and people with vision, not dreams, but visions to be able to implement something that can be a game changer economically. The after-school program, you asked what I plan to do. Just like we have youth summer programs that give the youth opportunity to bring money home, I think that we need to have an after-school program that allows the youth who are in high school and even in college to be able to engage with small business people who cannot afford to pay big salaries or have big staff, for them to engage with those business individuals in exchange that they can take a little money home with them to be able to handle some things that they can handle as a youth or a young adult, or to be able to contribute to the household. Because there's a lot of single-parent moms out there who's not working, who still need help. And I think that anybody living in a house that is eating and understand responsibilities ought to also be taught to contribute to their household starting at an early age, because you got too many young folks think that everything is free. You know, so giving them a job and making them feel responsible ought to be something that we ought to be willing to do collectively if it takes matching funds to make that happen. So that's one of the ideas I have in order to bring some type of urgency for trickle-down economics for the community.
Yeah, that's what I talked about previously, about something sustained. We need a sustained program, not just one, but working programs that are successful, instead of these yearly one-off items where you come in, you get a few books for the classes, get some paper, and you get some pencils, and it gets cold, and you get a couple of coats and some shoes and stuff like that. All that's good, but people are not, and sometimes you give out some free food, but people are not only just doing bad and starving in their homes, because North Alabama does have a problem kids not getting meals. But we need more than just paper and pencils, some shoes and a jacket, and some random food here and there. People really need, they're starving for information and inclusion. And that's what I have not seen since I lived there in Huntsville, since I worked in politics in Huntsville for over a decade, and being involved in the political process. It's always about the person running. I haven't seen really when it's been about the people. And even if you name yourself the people's this or that, that does not necessarily play out. It's all about yourself. You're not the people's nothing if everything's named after you, everything's built around you, nothing's coming through unless it comes through you. That's not being a person of the people. That is self-centered. And I have not seen anybody, to tell you the truth, that's really about the people. It's always about the person.
Well, you said a mouthful right then, because if you actually study the culture of our political climate, you will come across, whereas that you will see that most of the individuals who have been elected, they have served the interests of other districts by voting and not being able to leverage something to come back into their district. And And that's what has happened here in Huntsville, is that I just have not seen anybody who is able to go and to get a strong consensus of its body, council, or commissioners, to be able to say, well, we're going to make sure a $15 or $20 million project comes into your district that is going to, by design, create jobs and to clear up the blighted areas. It's always been about book bags, winter coats, go to the community action agency and get some food, get your utility bill. It's never have been something that was great enough to be sustainable, that those who are stakeholders who call the shot was able to agree on. And, you know, we got buildings, but nobody can eat a building. We got buildings that you have to go pay to use. So why not from a private sector empower some individuals that live in North Huntsville to create businesses or institutions that can stand in the establishment and operate as an entity independently, but collectively to the benefit of everybody. And that's what we have to do in the African-American community, is that we have to put the money there in the hands of people who want to serve the people. You know, for some reason, if you want to serve the people, for some reason, they don't help. I'm number one. You know, I'm not Little Richard, but I can tell you, they told me when I was growing up that if you stay out of trouble, you don't sell drugs, you help people, you be a good citizen, then, you know, you're prospering, you get help. Man, I've had $50,000. I've had money, and I couldn't even get a bank in Huntsville to even leverage my money. So far, ever since I've been in business, I literally had to carry it without really having the support, you know. But now what I'm looking at is that because I've had political roadblocks in some of my endeavors that led me to only believe that without having the political capital, you cannot be successful, not just in this community, but I think it's all across the country, is that politicians hold the key to the progress of the people. It's not the people, the politicians, who carry an agenda that may not include certain districts or certain pockets of the community access to what the others have because of their economic condition.
That's true. I tell you something that really is the first time that I went to a meeting, a political meeting, that I had to walk out of it. And that's back when you was running. They had a meeting at a church over there on Oakwood. All the candidates was over there. And, of course, every candidate is going to try to take credit for anything big that's ever happened in their district. And I heard Richard Charles, he was taking a little heat, and he wanted to take credit for their Walmart coming. And he was asking people, have you seen it? It's like a big old city over there, all those lights, those big lights over there. And I said, is this what it's all about, bright lights and a scenery and talking about Walmart? I got up and walked out. I said, this is not in line with my thinking of what the people need. The people don't need to aspire to bright lights in a Walmart. We need something bigger, something
and,
more personal.
But you know what I also learned is that even, you know, I can't discount what our leaders have done because of this. Is that it was the first time for us to have representation as and those districts was designed for African-American representation. And everybody got to understand that because it took a lawsuit in order to be guaranteed representation. I ought to tell you something right there, is that anytime you have to sue in order to have representation, that means that you were disenfranchised from the get-go. But now we're looking at it 27 years. Where do we go from here? Do we put people to represent us in office to continue to ignore the economic conditions, to ignore the fact that when you look in one area, it don't look like the other area. When you look at the shifting of the community, meaning that we're going to move this housing project out of the equation geographically, and we're going to disperse those people into another area. I mean, you got to understand when you move people out of a project area who have not been used to cutting grass or paying a certain amount of money, or, you know, the accountability to be a homeowner is much different than living in public housing. And you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan to help everybody transition, that when they do come into an at-large community, that the property owners feel that, hey, we can still stay here and our property value is not going to go down. But let me tell you this. I'm not blind to the fact of this, is that if you look at the property value in North Huntsville going down, you can't just put it because the economy went down. You got to also that they knew that if you had a large population of people who are not working coming into a certain area, getting on Section 8 and this and that, will cause the values of those communities to go down. So what educated person who believes in building assets want to be in an area that they feel that it makes 30 years, you know what I'm saying, before that area would be prosperous? You know, so we have to have people in office who can look through the smoke, you know, can understand what's happening. I'm just saying this, is that I can't discount. I think what Councilman Shiles did was the very best he could do in his season and his time. And I'm not even running against him. I'm running for the office. I'm running to be able to bring my gifts, my talent to my district if the people want me there. I believe that the young man that's running, you know what I'm saying, I believe that he's quite articulate. The young lady that's running would be the first time that we had a African-American woman at city council. But the bottom line is this. It doesn't matter being the first of this or the first of that. Who's going to be the first person who's going to bring an economic agenda to a community and commit it to it and not to be able to be self-serving? You know, and that's what I'm saying, is that one promise
that's
that I know
really
that is that I'm not going to be self-serving. I'm going to serve my community to the best interest in this time and this season. And so, you know, so I want to be a part of being able to cut the deals right now that's necessary before the city say they don't have money to do this or to do that. You know what I'm saying? So, we got a
caller. Caller, you just listening or you want to add a comment to this? We're talking with Huntsville District 1 City Council candidate Peter Proctor Jr. Okay, maybe they just called in to listen. So back to what I was saying, like I said, he about Councilman Shaw, he has served well with what he has, but And I consider him as a friend. I think the young man that's running, I think that's great. I always love to see many people running for a position. I hate when I see somebody has no challenger. That I don't care what office they're in, what political party they're in. If nobody has a challenger, that's just saying, is everything lovely? I mean, look around and look at your leaders. You need to look at all your leaders at election time. Are things the way you want them to be, or you just want things to stay the way they are? And I don't see any change coming to the north side of Huntsville until they get rid of that leadership. That's just plain and simple. You can call it what you want to. I know it makes some people feel good to have somebody in office who has been there for a long time, but being there a long time is not a representation of good leadership, because all you got to do is look around. If I'm looking around in my area and all I see is closed businesses, if all I see is high school dropouts, if all I see is crime, if all I see is empty buildings, if all I see is people moving away to another part of town or out of town, then it's wrong. You got a problem in leadership. That is leadership. All those things I just mentioned are problems of leadership. And you can't escape it. I don't care how many good feelings you have about a person. Being a good person and being in office for a long time does not necessarily correlate with being the right leader at the right time. You need some, I mean, you have, it's just like a relay race. Someone like Mr. Showers, he ran the first part of the race and he ran good. But sooner or later, he has to realize, but more importantly, the voters have to realize it's time to pass the baton on to someone else who can run the second leg of that race. No man can run the whole entire race by himself. He's going to tire out. He's going to need fresh ideas, new people, and we just have not seen that. Only thing we see is the same political machines. Now, I just want to say good luck to you, good luck to everybody. I think when people have more choices, that is a good thing, and I'm especially glad to see a female in the race. But that does not mean that you got to do that just because it's a female. Look at her qualifications and see what her platform is and go from there. But it's great to see her in the race, and it's great to see somebody else younger in the race. Now, I look forward to and the young man, he's definitely putting things in the right perspective. And I just hope he don't get lambasted like Reggie got. You know, he's not ready, he's not ready. Well, if these people are not ready, then who is? Nobody will ever be ready, according to the person saying it. So,
well, you know, that's true. I would like to also share that my agenda is to establish a performing arts district in North Huntsville. That is the big idea for Northern Huntsville to be a part of the picture of Huntsville. You know, we want to be included, and I believe that, you know, as Huntsville has moved about to get all of these entertainment districts where people can go and party, walk around and drink beverages, all of that is fine. But we need a district, just like you have a medical district, a research district. We need a performing arts district where it can be tied to the industry, where movies and documentaries and plays and productions and indoor and outdoor arenas are places where people get up every morning and go to work. And that's what, if somebody wants to say, what is the greatest natural resource or asset that we have in Huntsville, is we have human capital. We got young adults who are coming out of magnet programs for the performing arts who have to leave Huntsville just to go get a job. You know, so we got all of these performing arts districts, and we got communications at A&M and Oakwood and Calhoun and all of these places. while we don't have a platform that they can feed into, that they will be able to make a living. So that's the big project that we have as part of the agenda. It's all about economic stuff and how you're going to do it. I have a comprehensive plan to do this. Anybody who's listening to this recording or this conversation, I want them to know that I'm carrying a serious agenda. You know, this is nothing to play with. It.
And you're exactly right, because we have Huntsville just had an awards recently, you know, with performing artists, and it's full of performing artists, and we got the Civic Center going on, we got plays going on down there all the time. We have colleges with performing arts departments, and what we need is to keep our own local talent. I know there's talent. I've had several on my show. You got ladies over there that do spoken word poetry. You got singers, rappers, and R&B singers. We got everything in place, but there's nowhere for them to go. We need a united front and a support system for our performing arts community, because they network. They're some of the best networkers that I've ever seen. They network better than anyone, the people that's in performing arts. So having a central location for them to thrive and be able to do exactly what you're saying, as far as being able to concentrate on their work, have everything they need right there. They can come out of their house in their community and go down the street, Dane, with you're going to have other supporting businesses come in, like credit unions, maybe a bank. It can sustain itself once it's put into place.
Yes, you said it. You know, anytime you create a district, you have to have all of the engines that really matter to the masses. Because, see, maybe people that don't care about the performing arts, maybe people have their different reasons, but guess what? Everybody needs access to money. So you put a credit union there, put a bank there, you know, a broadcast streaming company. You got the Gig City Project here in Huntsville. You know, a community like this would be one of your biggest companies who need to have access to the fiber. I mean, you know, so we have to think about, when you're talking about a work, live, law community, you're talking about building something that people say, well, hey, I can maintain some equity in my home, in my business. You're talking about a community who now that instead of having everybody scattered out all over the place, now you can bring everybody who can be complementary to the performing arts to come in this community. And so this will be a regional thing, could be a national thing. So we don't have to just depend upon just local feeders, but then everybody say, well, here in Huntsville, Alabama, they actually have a performing arts district where people go to work. They just don't go to drink and party. They actually are producing something that is in a time and a season such as this. And Marcus, I want you to know, what I'm sharing with you right now is an idea that's on paper, that's research. But yet you still have somebody who's going to hear this to not do anything but criticize, say it can't happen, because, number one, they don't want it to happen. Number two, it's not their idea. Number three is just that some people are just haters. But I'm believing that even if the people in the district do not find me to be a qualified candidate, that they find that my ideas are qualified enough to create the jobs that can keep young folks out of jail and young professional adults who leave college can still hang around till they get themselves together to go off to a bigger pond. But we're not doing anything to have a safety net. It seems as though we're doing things that causing the destruction, you know. So it's this what I'm all about. I'm all about, hey, we can have job opportunity and economic prosperity in northern Huntsville, and consider me as being a person who can make that happen. I know I can make it happen.
Yes, and that's a great vision. Like you were saying, if these young people, and they're talented, the young people of Huntsville, they are so very talented. I see it all the time. And when I hear some of these people speak, when I hear their poetry or I hear their song, I'm just saying to myself, man, we need some type of mega studio in Huntsville. And that's something that could be based out at this Live Loft community you're talking about. And that actually would take out the starving of the starving artist. You know, most of the time it's hard for an artist to concentrate on their work because of they have to work a 9-to-5 or a 9-to-9. You know, people are working 12 hours a day, but they never may reach their full potential because they're stuck in this economic situation where they have to neglect their naturally God-given talent to pay the bills. So building a community around the artist that's going to give them affordable housing, affordable daycare, all within walking distance, and access to the things they need, like bank, Kinko's, some fast foods or whatever, gymnasiums, all that right there, it's a great idea. It's a great way to not only retain the talent you got, but to also attract other talent.
You're talking about new tax dollars being generated. It's a golden opportunity and a win-win for everyone. And, you know, I'm excited about it. I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to come and share some of the things that the people need to know. You know, I'm not going to be out there putting out a whole bunch of unnecessary signs at this time. You know, might be some folks out there saying, well, Proctor don't have no signs out there. Guess what? I need people to go to the poll and to vote. That's what really matters. It's people who
yeah.
get the message, who knows that I'm running, to get the message. Now, if they want to get in contact with me, you know, they will be able to keep up with us on this blog. You know, I got some things that we're getting ready to launch. But I've been doing the battleground stuff, you know, going direct to people and doing that. But when I get ready to go full blown, people will have an opportunity. When they show up that day, they will make a decision on who they want to vote for, and I just ask them to do their research, find out who have been doing grassroots work, not being sponsored by somebody, but have been doing it with their own money. Ask them to consider the work and the ability. I believe that I'm the right man right now. This is the right reason and the right season.
Mr. Proctor, hold on 1 second. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I got a caller that want to ask you an educational question. So we're going to take one quick break, about 2 minutes, and we'll be back.
Yes, sir.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one.
Birmingham, and in that area, we had a program that our students were allowed or were expected to be allowed to receive some training in a technical area where they could learn a trade. That program was called My Brother's Keeper. Now, unfortunately, that program was raped horribly by Mayor Bell, and all of the millions of dollars that was funding it magically went away. But the concept was a beautiful concept where those students that didn't feel like they were going to be able to achieve perhaps a regular diploma were allowed to receive training in a trade that they could test for and be given a certificate for so that they could have some education when they left school. Because I understand not every student is meant to go to college and to be a bookworm, but there's a lot of jobs require a skill in a trade. What do you think you could do about bringing a program like that in the North Huntsville, which could be used by students from all over the county, but we have money sitting on the table right now to build a school that they can't decide which part of the white or which white side of the county they want to build it on. Why don't we present them an idea that we're going to have students coming out of our educational system that would benefit from having a school centered around a diploma, yes, but it's centered around creating students that come out with a skill that can allow them to join the workforce, where Huntsville is one of the largest growing cities in Alabama. We need people that know how to use a certain machinist type tooling and other things. Don't you think this would be a great opportunity to bring an idea that another city destroyed out of greed, but to bring it to this city that needs it so much? We have so many students in dire need of an education so that they can get out of a system that they find themselves in today.
I'm in total agreement. You hit the nail on the head. That is exactly what our program does, is that it not only allows professional people who's seeking a job, but it also allows kids at the high school level and the collegiate level to be able to engage in the industry from a performing arts, may it be media or multimedia or what may have you. Ironic you said that. I talked to a director of technical theater at Lee High School. My daughter is in the performing magnet program at Lee, and we had a conversation to the side after their production the other night, and they did Big Fish. It was a beautiful, beautiful production.
Right.
But he says that, you know what he told me that was interesting? He told me that his greatest concern was that the kids who are leaving the high school level that has been trained in this magnet program will go to a college that may not even be on the level in which that they have already been trained, meaning that he said these kids right now can go to work if they want to. And the performing arts and technical and performing and all of that, and truly they can do that. So what you're saying is true, that the kids who are leaving the high school level or the kids who may not be they may be academically challenged in reading, writing, counting, and all of the basics of the science, but they are naturally gifted to learn visually and with their hands. They are left out of the equation because they could not cut it on the academia level. So a program such as this will bring professional and magnet students together in an environment with students who may not be up to par academically, but have the gift, the natural gift and the talent to learn in an arena like that, that will not allow somebody to be left and fall through the net. So that's what our program is all about. And those students who involve in our after-school program for pay, those are the ones that we're targeting first, the ones who are struggling at school and their focus is not there. If their teachers recognize that they have a visual gift, I mean the visual and the hands-on ability to learn, but just need a natural environment to grow in, you know, we would be able to offer that. Thirdly, I want to say most of the colleges, especially Alabama A&M, Oakwood, Calhoun, they don't want to spend $1.5 million every other year or every year trying to keep up with the technology. So, but what they need is they program have to have those students involved with the company that's got the most current technology in order for them to be labor ready to go into the workforce to make money. So if the schools partner up with us, that means that their students will have a place that they can go to have hands-on experience with the state-of-the-arts equipment, and we would be the source of being able to make sure that we keep everything up to standards for state-of-the-arts equipment and learning. You know, so you're correct. I would love to have an entity who would value this and to partner with us on it. As it relates to the greed thing, let me share this with you. It needs to be structured where the shareholders are the people who are participating in the community.
Huh.
You know.
That is a wonderful assessment there. And I am excited to hear what you're saying, because we have a lot of people wanting to be politicians that probably couldn't get their way through a Kroger application. And what you just said warms my heart, sir. And I am outside of your district, but I would support you wholeheartedly in your campaign with what you're saying, because you do have a vision. And I've listened to your call, and once again, I'm excited to hear that we have a pupil run. And Marcus was dead on when he described that we don't have a choice here in Alabama. I am a Democrat, and I asked for a Democratic ballot recently. And I only had to check one or two boxes, whereas my Republican friend who came with me, who got a Republican ballot to vote at the same time I did, she sat at the table for 20 minutes. I was in and out quickly because there was no choices to be had. And that is sad and pathetic that our students and what we have going on in North Huntsville, there's a crisis in that part of the town, and there's just seems to be not a lot of eyes looking in on these problems that those eyes then want to talk about it. They'd rather just look away. And these students are being left out. Just left out. And when the students are left out and then they graduate, and if there's a poor decision made or something happens and this is an unsatisfactory turnout from this young person, we're blaming the kid, that the kid couldn't get his stuff together or couldn't get his life straight, when all we handed that kid was a candy bar and a chocolate milk and said, good luck to you. And it's ridiculous to think that we can put children in a position to elevate themselves with what you're saying about the family structures and all this. We have children that must elevate themselves, and with no support structure, where do you go? Who do you fall back on? Who answers your phone call at 10 o'clock at night when you don't know what decision to make? Nobody. And so there's nobody there for those kids. We need to wake up, and we need to get people to the polls that support what your vision is, sir. I'm excited to hear it, and I'm thankful to have this opportunity to come in on the show. But I tell you, I'm very excited for you, Mr. Proctor.
Well, I thank you very much. I want you to know that I'm homegrown. I'm a homeboy. I want you to know that when I grew up, my parents taught me to respect your elders. No matter if you think they're doing you wrong, you respect them and you come home and you let us know, and we'll deal with it. And what we have today is we don't have nobody respecting anybody, totally out of order. And when you put policies in place that restricts parents from disciplining their kids, it restricts the school system for disciplining kids, then the only thing left is the police to hit them in the head and take them downtown. And we're looking at
they're going to get the state funding for your incarceration. This, like I said, a lot of things are by design. So if you create a situation where these kids are hopeless, they're going to get into trouble. Anybody that's hopeless is going to get into trouble. If you have some hope, you're going to stay away from trouble. But when you create hopeless situations like all these empty spaces across North Huntsville, businesses closed, empty buildings just deteriorating, and we know we got talent there. If there's an empty building there, and that empty building is in your district, and you know you got a bunch of people out here who can sing or perform, why aren't you tearing out those buildings and creating a place for that? But no, what we have is people, as long as some of these elected officials can go and look at a big, nice house, nice cars in their driveway, or go look at a building with that name on it, they're not thinking about anybody else. They're not really thinking about anybody else, because that's all they can see. But you need to see your people. I mean, get out amongst the people, see the people, know the people. And that's another thing that I hate about politics. Sometimes people get into the state where they get disconnected from the people. They get beyond the people because they've been behind closed doors talking about policy and things they consider to be the big things, and they forget the smaller people. You have got to look around and see what's really going on. There is a sense of hopelessness and desperation in Huntsville, and particularly North Huntsville. It's not seeing any progress, but as long as some of our elected leaders get their pet projects done and funded and refurbished, it seems like they're okay. They're fine. They won't go out and argue. Tell me the last time when one of these elected officials have went out and talked about the very things you're talking about, Mr. Proctor. Now, they might talk about it now because it's election season. And people out there, I want to remind the voters, we gotta snap out of this. Let's snap out of it. We hear these politicians who sit in office and they say these things every election time. We got to go back and think, okay, well, how many times has this person said this, and this has not changed. How many times has this person said we're going to bring in some new younger people, and how has it when and how has it happened? It hasn't happened, and you're going to
You got to understand this is a two-way street. Elected officials can only make decisions on tax revenue dollars that are set aside for reinvestment in what they feel is the necessary. But you got to also have the private sector who's willing to make the investment also, and then you can partner up and get it done, because you can't take taxpayers' dollars and to do private ventures. You can do partnerships, but you can't do partners private ventures. And what's happening is that the reason there's a lack in North Huntsville is because when downtown or decision makers have already redlined the area or said, well, we're not going to put money there, we're going to develop over here and here. What it is you don't have the representatives who is saying that this is what need to happen in this community, and for them to go out and find the business leaders or the community leaders who said, well, I got some monies in my savings account, or my credit is good enough for me to take a risk, and we need to find the critical thinkers and the experts to make it happen. That is the only thing that has not happened in North Huntsville. Until you get people rallied together to be able to do that, then the elected officials can say, well, I have a constituents who want this to happen. So I'm saying that I'm coming in to create the synergy to be able to bring all of that to the table, only because I'm grassroots and I understand. I've been conscious for 30 years, and I see kids who are now 30 years old. I'm 54, but I've seen the kids who are 30 years old now what they had to go through because no doors was open to this new age. So we can't just say the politician don't want to do, but the politician cater to what is available because they may not want to work hard, or they may not have a vision, or it may not be for them to do. It may be, as you said earlier, bringing in new blood every 4 years, every 8 years or whatever, but do not be a career politician at one post. But you, the politician need to grow and the community need to grow from level to level to level. I want to thank the young lady for listening in and encouraging me. Once again, I'm looking for bodies to be able to get to the poll to vote. Please contact your people and to let them know that when they show up on that day, Mr. Proctor will be on the ballot. You know, I'm in the process of right now of taking the campaign public. I've been basically doing my battleground to find out, am I viable, how many people are willing to support me, this and that. So this is the first time that I've really came public to let the people know exactly what I'm trying to do to serve my community. But I guarantee you it's not self-serving, and I will take it to my grave, because it's going to take some time to build a performing arts district. So thank you very much, and I hope that we can dialogue some other time. Marcus, I want to thank you for doing this interview. I have to get ready now and meet my wife in a few moments.
Okay, and I just want to say, any other candidate out there, you're welcome to come on. It's not closed down like that, but you get the same type of questioning. And just open up and let the people know what your agenda is. And be willing to engage. And just because you might not see a vision doesn't mean the people don't want it. And the point of the office is to serve the people. So if you got, if I didn't understand performing arts or whatever it was in the community, but the community as a whole was gravitating toward that or doing that, then it's upon me, incumbent upon me, to make it happen, even though I might not agree with it. I might not like the performing arts community, But if I need to, but if I'm somewhere and I'm in the leadership where all my people in my district or my area are performing artists, then it would make sense for me to give them something to build on. And like I said, they network like you would not believe. Performing artists are some of the best networkers I've seen in the business. And I've been a part of the performing arts community. I'm telling you, they network is unbelievable. They get the word out. So thank you, Mr. Proctor, for coming on, and welcome to come on again. And if any of these candidates want to come on, maybe y'all can do a live debate on the show. And like I said, I just want to end it up with this. Mr. Showers has done a lot of great work in the community. I want to say that about him and about the young man. He's very articulate, and it's good to see a young, fresh voice on it. And for the young lady, it's good to see a lady in the race. And so all this is good. The more candidates, the better. I just hate not seeing choices or think we got to stay with the same person because nobody else can do it. That is not true. That's not true. All right. If that's all you got to say, then I'm going to wrap this up.
Thank you very much.
It was good having you. Look forward to having you back on soon.
Catch us on Facebook. That's Huntsville Black. HuntsvilleBlack.com. HuntsvilleBlack.com. They can't stop us. Bringing voices to power.
To the rap. Hip hop.
Great.
sellout.